Hello once again. Welcome to our program today. We're working our way through the book of John. We're in chapter 2 today. Again, the purpose for this book, John said, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that's the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. No other name given among men where men must be saved. Chapter 2, in the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. The mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were invited. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Seems like a strange answer. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants knew which drew the water, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning thus set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now we have the believing. Now, when I study a portion of Scripture, I always like to answer these 5 questions. Who, what, when, where, and why is this here? Who, very plain, verse number 1, the mother of Jesus. Verse number 2, Jesus and his disciples are in this story. Verse number 3, they. That just refers to everybody who's at the wedding, probably a very large crowd if they had 6 water pots. Verse 5 refers to the servants, and verse 8 refers to the governor of the feast. What is happening here? A wedding. We're at verse 1, a marriage. That's very interesting and very important. What else is happening here is they have no wine. So we have verse 6, 6 water pots, 6. Verse 7, we have the water. When did it happen? The third day. That's important. Where did it happen? Cana of Galilee. Why did it happen? It's interesting. We read at the end of John that he said things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Well, why is this story here? There's nothing in here by accident, and everything here is very important. Now, in a Jewish marriage, what would happen is the groom would travel from his father's house to pay the purchase price, the dowry, for the bride. Jesus traveled from his father's house to pay the price, which was his life, for his bride. There was the establishing of the marriage covenant, and the groom returned to his father's house. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Wasn't that interesting? The groom would go back and prepare the living accommodations for his wife and his father's property. The groom then would return for his bride at a time not known exactly to her. The groom's return then with her to the place that had been prepared. Sound familiar? The wedding feast would then take place for 7 days. It's interesting. We have the 7 years of the Bema Bench once we're taken out of this world. Well, let's read it. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. She was there. She's charged. She's in charge here. She's not invited. She's part of the team. But we read both Jesus and his disciples were both called. They were invited guests. So it's the third day. Day of the resurrection. Interesting. It's a marriage. He begins his public ministry at a wedding, telling us how important marriage is to God. But also, it's a family situation. You would think, you know, the first miracle, that would be something in Jerusalem where he would get the attention of all the people. He hardly gets attention of anybody in this thing. There's a few people, and he's got a reason for what he's doing here. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Obviously, she's a part of this wedding. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. It seems like a strange answer. Why? Because we have a change of relationship here. He's been in Nazareth with his mother for 31 years. She died when he was 33. And what's happening here is a change of relationship. It's not, hi, Mom. But he says, woman. The relationship changed between Paul and Timothy. You remember, they traveled together. They were buddies, real good buddies. But when Paul wrote 1st, 2nd Timothy, he said, Paul, an apostle. He didn't say, hey, Timothy, old buddy, I'm writing. No, we got something that is extremely important here. Same thing happened, you know, John, who wrote this book, he leaned on the breast of Jesus at the supper there. They had a tremendous relationship. But when we start the book of Revelation, this same John, when Jesus appears, he falls on his face before him. Change of relationship here. It's important. Well, he saith, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, this term was not a demeaning term like we might use it today. You remember at Calvary when Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Remember when Mary Magdalene came out after the resurrection, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? It was a term of endearment, not used like we might use it today. He said, mine hour is not yet come. Seven times in John 2 and 4, my hour is not yet come. 7 and 30, because his hour was not yet come. 8 and 20, his hour was not yet come. 12 and 23, the hour is come. 12:27, for this cause I came unto this hour. And then John 16:32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. And then in his prayer to the Lord before his crucifixion, he said in John 17:1, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now his mother saith unto the servants, excuse me, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's just a good idea. If we will do whatever he says, we will get results. We're not getting many results these days. I wonder if it's because we're not doing what he says. Verse 6 there, and there were set there six water pots, not seven, six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. We see here that they were doing what was after the manner, going through the motions. You remember in Luke chapter 2, they came down every year at the Feast of the Passover, and Jesus was 12 years old, and after the custom, they came down. Yep, this is what we do. We do this every year, going through the motions. And then we read, when they left, they were supposing him to have been in the company. Supposing, imagine that. I mean, boy, when Jesus was 6 months old, this is the Son of God. When he was 6 years old, this is the Son of God. Now he's 12, they're just supposing him to be in the company. I think there's a lot of things going on in our so-called fundamental churches these days, where we're going after the custom, going through the motion. We got the order of service, sing, praise, sing, announcements, offering, sermonette, Christianette, let's all go home. Interesting. Great order of service. After the custom, and supposing him to be in the company. Well, we read here that they had 6 water pots, and they were empty. 6 is the number of man. 666. What are they doing? They're going through the motions of religion, and what needs to happen is we need to add the water. The Bible talks about the word, a washing of water by the word. What we got to do is fill it up to the brim. That's what he said to do. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Not half full. Fill them up. And he saith unto them, that's the service, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Just do what he says. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now here's an important verse. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now this is the beginning of a public ministry. From now on he would be thronged by the common people, he would be threatened by the religious people. He would have no more privacy. If he wanted to talk with his father, he'd have to do it in the middle of the night. It's interesting when it comes to miracles, John records 7. Jesus turned the water into wine. He healed the official's son. He makes the lame to walk. He walked on the water. He fed the multitudes of people. He gives sight to the blind, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. But this particular miracle, not for the crowd. There's very few people in this group of people at this wedding that even knew what happened. It was for his followers. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Not only that, his mother, she's mentioned 4 times. Again, we mentioned a change of relationship. She needs to understand Jesus is in this world heading for the cross. Not only that, we read the servants. The ruler knew not, but the servants which drew the water, knew. Those who are willing to just do what Jesus tells them to do. He said, I'll let you in on some secrets here, which most of the people didn't even know what happened. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, you remember, he was there when he was 12. He went every year. But now, we're going to see, they're not going to like Jesus. You know, I think too much of us today who call ourselves pastors and preachers and leaders in our churches, we're too concerned about whether people like us or not. Jesus is going to cause a commotion when he gets to the temple. We'll look at it in our next message. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Be sure to be with us for our next broadcast.